Good morning, it's Mark Steiner, right here on the home of the 2016 Baltimore Mayoral Debate, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. As you all know, we've been covering this mayoral race a great deal. I've been involved in several forums, and we have our own forum coming up next week on March the 10th here at Morgan State University at 7:30 at Murphy Auditorium, at 7 o'clock, excuse me, at Murphy Auditorium. And there are all ranges of conversations about what we want in our next mayor. There's a particularly interesting one coming up on Monday, March the 7th at 6 o'clock at the Maryland Institute College of Art. It's Citizens Art Baltimore, mayoral forum on arts and culture, specifically focusing on what the mayor's mayoral candidates think and what their plans are around arts and culture and the importance of that in our community. And I think 8 candidates are showing up. We'll talk about that with our 2 guests. CJ Phillips is here in the studio. She's artistic director at Dance and Be More. And Jeannie Howell joins us. She's executive director of the Greater Baltimore Cultural Alliance, joining us by phone from D.C. And CJ and Jeannie, good to have you both with us.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Thanks, Mark. Pleasure.
It's a pleasure to have you both here. And so let me back up a bit and turn to CJ here, because we had a conversation before we walked into the studio just about how this forum came about and what its focus is. Why don't you start, and then Jeannie can jump in.
Yeah, in January, Jeannie invited me to be a part of a citizen artist, really conversation. And it had a diverse group of artists from around Baltimore, some of them part of anchor institutions, some of them more grassroots, who just wanted to talk about what it is that are our concerns as creative communities throughout Baltimore, and how do we bring those concerns to the mayoral candidate. And so one of the things that was already in play that a lot of us just thought was a brilliant idea was, rather than having this small group of people kind of around a table, why not go out into the community and hear more voices and get a sense of what's the common thread that's coming up over and over again. And also because we all talked about at that initial meeting equity. That not just access for people who typically have access or in neighborhoods that typically have access, but access all over Baltimore. And so the thing that I really loved about this group was that the listening sessions were planned, yes, in Station North Arts and Entertainment District, and that seems like an obvious one, but they were also at the Arc Social on Pennsylvania Avenue. They were also at the Baltimore American Indian Cultural Center in East
Baltimore.
Right,
yes. Right.
There was also a listening session at WombWorks up in West Baltimore
Those
as well.
Those women do incredible work.
Yes.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
And one of the ones that was really intriguing me was the one in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Homes. And so those are very different communities.
Very different.
And so to say to those communities, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? What do you need? And what kind of impact do the arts have in your life when they're there and when they're not there? And let's hear what is going to be this common thread. Let's hear what bubbles to the surface and have the patience to not say, this is what we think the mayor should be thinking about, but to hear what the people who experience art in our communities think about, and then to gather those, synthesize them, make them really concise, but bring those questions from the community to the mayor. So I feel like it's been very well thought out and planned out and very creative, obviously, from the creative community.
One would hope and imagine. So I'm sure, CJ, when talking about these forums around the city, before we jump into the heart of what you're going to be questioning the mayors about and what you think the situation of the power of the arts are in Baltimore, were you shocked or taken aback, or did you learn anything in these sessions you didn't expect?
Yeah. Well, I would say all of the above. I got to go to 3 of the sessions, and I got to hear about the other 4. There were several sessions. And the first session was at the Wind Up Space and Station North, and we did some community mapping and getting to know who lives in what neighborhood and where. We had, you know, post-its of topics that people could write on their post-it. What do they see as assets in the arts in Baltimore? And then the range of assets just went so further than you would expect. It went, of course, from dance to theater to marching bands to barbershops that have art galleries in them,
right,
you know,
right.
To fashion. And there were so many things that came up. then when you go to some place like Cherry Hill, which I love, I've actually done some work there with my dance company. One of the things that stood out there was how much the conviction of the community is, we are going to create a creative space for our children, for our families, with or without your help.
Uh-huh.
And it just was like, we are strong, we are faithful, and this has to be a part of our lives. It helped me survive as a person, and I know this is going to help my children survive.
So how did you see, what did you pick up from these meetings you had, Jeannie?
So I agree with CJ 100%. It's just like so amazing to listen to people talk about how the creative process and it really affects their individual lives. What was interesting to me is that it actually was also very affirming, because some of the things that we just really had strong impulses about as being issues in the community, for example, arts education, we expected to rise to be, if there were only three legs of the stool or four legs of the stool, that arts education would have to be one of those. And that certainly was the case. Also, not surprisingly, issues of equity and how artists and organizations work together and are supported. And also, I think that overarching all of this was a real desire. Baltimore has incredible resources in terms of the arts assets. A lot of terrific work has been done, the establishment of the Arts District, citywide festivals. But there's a real hunger to look at overarching strategy that could really get at how we function as a whole ecosystem and how a mayor might better understand the kind of work and the kind of contribution that the cultural sector makes, and regard the cultural sector as an asset and not as something that they're delivering service to. For example, if that makes sense.
It makes a great deal of sense. So this is a political question. Who's coming to this thing? How many candidates? Do you know who's coming?
Yeah. CJ, do you have the list in front of you? I can tell you that Nick Mosby is coming. Patrick Gutierrez is coming. Catherine Pugh is coming. CJ, I'm going to need a little help.
Joshua
Harris, I see, is committed. Elizabeth Embry, DeRay McKesson. And Carl Stokes, is he committed?
No, not.
Carl Stokes is not able to come. He had a city council obligation.
David Warnock will be there.
So let's talk about what you want them to respond to. Have they filled out questionnaires before they got there?
So, Mark, we sent those questionnaires out this week, and so we are in the process of collecting them. I'm sure some of them will be able to get them back before the end of this week, and some will use them as preparation for Monday as well.
I'm interested in the kind of the approaches you want to take in terms of the things that we'll be discussing that night. I mean, what I see is the personal impact of arts and culture. One of the questions I see here is in what significant way has an experience with the arts and culture influenced your life or thinking? That's one of the questions for the candidates.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And really, when you think about it, so many of us have been touched and influenced by art in our lives. And we get busy and going on our careers and doing our things and maybe have an occasion to experience the art. But art is all around us. And if we take a moment to think about that, we can see how that value really resonates with us. And so we want the candidates to, people to know they are human and they, go to events and festivals and experience art in different ways and get a sense of how they have experienced it.
Yeah, and I think it's both. We really want to know this about them, and that they have those kinds of connections. But I think the question is also meant to remind them a little bit to think about their world in that way. And that I think almost I would be shocked if there's anyone, or I'm saddened to think that there's anyone who wasn't in some way changed or moved by an experience that they had as a kid or even as an adult.
Well, I think the reality though is what we see in our city schools is that. And is that there is – your second question is about city schools and arts education.
Right.
And commitment to being taught by qualified professionals in art and theater, dance and music and visual arts. But the reality is most of our kids don't get that.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're not affected by it because they do not get that training in school. So you're asking how will they ensure equitable access, which is not an easy question to answer since they don't really control the schools but have an influence. So what do you expect out of that?
Well, another partner in this coalition for Baltimore Citizen Artists Citizen Artists Baltimore, is the Baltimore Arts Education Coalition.
Yes.
Right. And I'm also on the steering committee for that. And really has done things like create an opportunity for a voice in the hiring process, for example, the current leader for the city schools. And really looking at what strategies might be. I mean, how is this funded? How is this being looked at? And it's an equity issue, as you said, because it just isn't fair. I mean, if you look at the distribution of resources relative to arts education.
So is it a question, I'm sorry to interrupt, but is this a question for you all in terms of an equitable distribution of resources or to have to have the resources you need to really make that happen, which calls not for an equitable distribution so much as more money?
It could be. It could be. I'm sorry, go ahead, Vita.
I was going to jump in and just say, and I also think it's about having a plan. How you approach it can be a number of different ways, and how you say, okay, this is the issue, this is the challenge, and how are we going to step through the challenge? But I think asking the question is going to help the next mayor to be thinking, oh, this is a need, and this is a need that the community is speaking on, and it will get ignored if it's not mentioned. And so I think that's the real
right,
important
right.
part.
It's a really important question, I think, for them to wrestle with and ponder. So one of the things you also have, you're going to talk about, is leadership and decision making. And I'm curious where these numbers come from that you all pulled out. You have down here that the arts and culture industry in Baltimore generates $388.2 million in total economic activity, 9,505 full-time jobs, $260.4 million in household income for local residents, $33.9 million in local and state government revenue. Now, where does that come from?
So that's pretty great, isn't it? That's from the report that Americans for the Arts does and Baltimore City participates in. I think it's once every 3 years. We have another one, maybe it's a little bit more than that, once every 4 years. There's another report coming out actually in July. But they help to pull together the years. They do this in a number of cities around the country, and we participate in something called the Cultural Data Project, and now I think it's called Arts Data, and that allows them to be able to pull out these figures of economic impact. And the report has additional figures to that, really looks at that economic impact from the perspective of what's actually happening at those organizations, but also what is the halo effect of that? You know, what are patrons spending at restaurants and parking garages? What is the resonation of employment and those kinds of things? But the American Institute of the Arts did a great job with that report.
So one of the things that the other questions we have here, I think, is really important. We touched on it a little bit earlier, but I think it's really incredibly important. And I'm curious how these mayoral candidates will answer this. I hope I can get to the audience and sit and listen to what they have to say Monday night. But you talk about how will you ensure that your annual budget results in stable and equitable funding fairly benefiting communities of color. Now, that is a big question. I mean, there's been this whole movement that we've covered pretty intensely here in this program on art apartheid. And there is a real gap here, even in Station North. It's a huge, not even also in Station North, there's a huge gap. And so what are your thoughts about that? I mean, what do you want to hear them say?
So I think there's a couple of different things in play here. One is about what funding there is available, and getting to strategies that start to look at other innovative ways to generate resources for the creative sector, and not being in a situation where we're pitting cultural organizations and artists against one another for an ever decreasing piece of the pie. So I think
right.
It's like what are the opportunities for the resources, and that might be part of regional planning. There's some great examples around the country of tax bases, the millage tax in Detroit, and a number of other examples where they've used different kinds of funding streams to actually be able to have something that was regular and renewable and built into the budget so that it didn't have to be fought for every single year and based on public will. And then I think, and I go back to sort of strategy, like one of the ways I think we can get at, and what I'm hoping that the mayoral candidates will be talking about, one of the ways that we can really get at that is really continuing the kind of work that we've done in understanding further who is the cultural community and making sure that they have voices in the planning process so that we're thinking about that. And then I guess this, I think I'm counting three. The third thing is also around about how such kind of strategic approach helps to foster greater strength and relationships between the silos that we have that exist between types of artists or between large and small or medium. Some of the things that particularly GBCA, Greater Baltimore Cultural Alliance, is interested in, really was founded on the basis of, is really looking at how this whole, how the whole kind of system works together so that you aren't under-recognizing. I think we could talk about this, and you have done a great job on this, Mark, talking about it a lot. It's also perhaps looking a little differently at how funding systems are set up and understanding that different organizations operate differently. And we currently don't have systems that respond very well or understand very well the value of those organizations relative to funding them.
CJ?
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You want to add to that? I mean,
yeah, a little bit. Something just came to mind. I've actually been going to some of the kind of meet and greets that candidates have had and listening to some of the things that they've been sharing, some ideas, and some of them are very interesting and creative. Two things that have come up, and you know, I know you're asking the question, what do you hope for them to say? I mean, I hope for them to speak the truth, but I hope for them to have these questions in, enough in advance to actually, like I said, make a plan that is – that will benefit all of Baltimore. But a couple of things that came to mind is just this idea of larger institutions partnering with grassroots institutions who have the relationships and the trust of the community. Oftentimes when money comes into a city like Baltimore, when we have scenarios and we have millions coming in, it goes to the same three organizations.
Exactly.
And so how do we create an atmosphere or a scenario that really, I don't know if it should mandate or if it's just encouraging organizations to partner with the smaller groups who are on boots on the ground, really, and seeing those smaller groups also as an asset and not that we're just all kind of pining for this small little bit of crumbs. So that was one thing. And then something else that came up that I thought was interesting idea that one candidate mentioned was bringing in more businesses to Baltimore. And people talk about that all the time and about, you know, everything looks great at the harbor and Fells Point and all these different areas. But what about East Baltimore? What about West Baltimore? And one of the things that the candidate said was, you know, well, if we're going to bring in small businesses, the caveat is that they need to adopt a rec center. And so you're not going to come in and get a TIF and do your business here unless you invest in the Baltimore
right.
That's not so beautiful by the harbor.
You know, I asked that question pushing before. We're almost out of time, but there's so much to talk about here. We could go on, but we will. And I'm curious, and I want to make sure people know where to go Monday night to hear this. But that we were coming up on, I guess, the year anniversary of Arts Apartheid, that we were doing a series of shows around with people who have been activists in that community and talking about their concerns. But I can hear people thinking now, you know, I mean, everything from bonds, which seem to go to the mainstream, mostly white run by people who happen to be white, institutions like BMA and Walters, but no bonds for Arena and no bonds for Hubie Blake and no bonds for a number of groups I could list that to help them grow. And also many black artists of every stripe of art, it feels like they are left out of the funding all the time. So,
right.
So I mean, that's a very serious – and that's a real issue here in Baltimore that,
yeah.
I think that who's ever mayor – and who's ever doing this stuff has to grapple with.
Well, then
I think that's. I'm sorry, CJ. I think that's right, Mark. I think it creates a real opportunity. I do want to recognize the strengths and contributions of many of those large organizations, and I just really would hope, and you asked, but I hope that it doesn't become again this. You know, if we have these fabulous, great big organizations, and we talk about them getting the resources, but the truth is that they're pretty stretched also. So what should be happening is that additional resources are coming in to support the whole ecosystem so that it is there is more equity, but there is more support.
Three things that we really want people to do is, first of all, register with a particular political party to be able to vote in the primary. The second thing is go to Citizen Artists Baltimore and get to know the candidates, get to see what their responses were. Even if you're not able to make it, we want the whole city to have an understanding of where their candidate stands on arts and culture in Baltimore. And lastly, April 26th, get out and vote.
One last thought. Yeah. Make sure you take the pledge, formally take the pledge, because the only way we can demonstrate the size of the voting block of the creative community is to be able to have you sign up so that we can go back to the candidates and say, you know, thousands of voters, not just thousands, but we can say X number have actually signed up and they are all planning to vote.
This is going to be an interesting night, so I'm encouraging everybody to come out to this event. I'm going to do my best to be there as well. I really want to hear what they have to say. It's Citizens Art Baltimore, the Mayoral Forum on Arts and Culture, March the 7th, this coming Monday, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. It's at Falvey Hall, the Brown Center, the Maryland Institute College of Art at 1301 West Mount Royal Street, obviously here in Baltimore. And it's really important for you all to kind of show up and be part of this. I want to thank our two guests here who joined us today to talk about this, who helped organize this, C.J. Phillips, Artistic Director of Dance and BMore, and Jeannie Howe, Executive Director of the Greater Baltimore Cultural Alliance. See you all Monday night at Falvey Hall at 6 p.m. We're wrapping up earlier today to bring you the newest segment of the WEAA series, Baltimore, The Rise of Charm City, produced by AIR with financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Baltimore, The Rise of Charm City features various historic locations around the city, interviewing people young and old about their memories. This week's topic, the Oblate Sisters of Providence. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our interns are Sienna Greaves, Morgan Barber, Manifa Wilson, and Calvin Perry. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. To podcast the Mark Steiner Show, share it with your friends, visit us on the web at steinershow.org, or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And be your source for the home of the 2016 Baltimore Mayoral Debate, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Have a great weekend. Take care.